Shalom Aleichem, welcome. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yuma Daf Ches, Yuma 8a, pagination page 15, but we're going to start on the facing page. So we're starting on Zayin Amud Beis 7b, pagination 14, three lines from the top. The Tanya we learnt. Tzitz, the special headpiece that was worn by the Kohen Gadol. Ben sheyeshnu al mitzcho, ben sheinu al mitzcho, whether it's on his forehead or it's not on his forehead, miratzeh. It causes ritzui, it causes karbanos to be accepted, even though there's tumas meis, there was some sort of impropriety done in the bringing of the karban. But that tumas meis, the person was defiled from a corpse and then brought the karban. Under certain circumstances, it's merutza, it's accepted anyway. Divrei Reb Shimon says that tzitz works even if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it. Even if he's not wearing it. Rabbi Yehuda says, Odeo al mitzcho meratze. If it's on his forehead, it works. Eino deo al mitzcho eino meratze. If he's not wearing it, it doesn't work. Now, the Gemara asks the obvious question. What would happen, for example, they're doing the avoda on Yom Kippur, which is fairly critical, and much of the avoda is done without the tzitz. The tzitz is only part of the big day Zahav. It's not part of the big day Lavan, which is the focus of Yom Kippur, and he's not wearing the tzitz. And the Gemara has to explain how such an acceptance would occur according to the opinion that you have to be wearing the tzitz for it to work. How would Yom Kippur be accepted? Let's drop down, though, to counting up from the wide lines, two lines. And Amar Abaye further qualifies this concept of tzitz working even if he's not wearing it. Amar Abaye, the nishbar hatzitz, if it's broken, kule amo lo pligi de lo meratze. Under those circumstances, it certainly is not going to work. Ki pligi de toli besichsa. The whole discussion was if it's fitting to be worn, but it's not actually being worn. So then there's a machlokas if it's meratze or it's not meratze. And again, getting back to the question of Yom Kippur would have to go through because of tumo hutra lo betzibur or something like that. The Gemara says that the principle behind this machlokas is that the pasuk explaining the tzitz says that it's tamid l'ratzon lefnei Hashem, it is always pleasing before Hashem. And the Gemara on the second wide line says, my tamid, what does it mean tamid always? If it means tamid al mitzcho, always on his forehead, it can't possibly be that there's a mitzvah for the Kohen Gadol to always, literally, always wear the tzitz on his forehead. Says the Gemara, Milo boy lemeil leves hakisei. Aren't there times that he has to go to the bathroom? Milo boy meinem. Aren't there times that he has to go to sleep? What does the word tamid mean? Ela tamid meratzehu. One opinion holds that it means it's always pleasing. It always causes this ritzui, that tuma is merutza and the korban is still accepted. The second opinion, however, learns same questions. Tamid, always. It doesn't literally mean always to be wearing it. And on the Gemara, one line up from the bottom, the Gemara says, Hahu tamid, that word tamid, shelo yasech daito mimenu, that when you are wearing it, you should be here, totally here, like always here, like really present, that you shouldn't be distracted, and you should always remember that you're wearing the tzitz. Kidurabba bar Rav Huna, and this is the same principle that Rabba bar Rav Huna taught with regard to tefillin. The Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, he taught, Chayiv Adam Mashmish b'tefila v'chol sha'a v'sha'a, a person should touch, should pay attention, should acknowledge that he's wearing tefillin when he's wearing the tefillin. Kavachomer mitzitz. It's a kavachomer from tzitz. On to today's daf. Umatzitz she'en bo elo azkara achas. Tzitz only has one time that it says Hashem's name. It says Kodesh laHashem. So Omra Torah amitzchotamid. It should be on your forehead always. Shalei sech daito mimenu, that we learn from the word tamid according to this opinion, that you shouldn't forget that you're wearing the tzitz. Tefillin sheyesh bahen azkaras harbe. Tefillin has many times that it mentions Hashem's name. Alachas kama v'kama. Certainly, you have to make sure not to forget that you're wearing the tefillin. So that's the first piece that I wanted to do. We learn from the word tamid, not necessarily that it always is meratzeh, that it always makes the karban pleasing. It could be that it's only while you Kohen Gadol is wearing it, but the word tamid tells you that when the Kohen Gadol does wear the tzitz, he has to wear it in a paying attention manner. He should not forget that he is wearing it. And from that, we learn the same halacha by tefillin. A person wearing his tefillin has to pay attention that he's wearing the tefillin and not to forget it. Let's drop down on the daf Yuma Ches Amud Aleph, Yuma 8a. And the Gemara makes a fascinating contrast between the way we prepare the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur and the way we prepare the Kohen Hasoref Es HaParah, who's going to bring the Parah Aduma. So one of the preparations is that we sprinkle the Kohen under discussion, either the Kohen Gadol or Kohen, not necessarily the Kohen Gadol, by Kohen Hasoref Es HaParah. We sprinkle the Kohen with the Parah Aduma water in order that if he is a Tamei Meis, if he came into contact with a dead body, he should now be Tahar, pure, and it's considered an upgrade, a preparation, even though he may have been Bechazaka, that he's Tahar, and his status quo would have been that he's able to do the avoda, but we're doing this extra preparation to make him really definitively ready to do the avoda. So the Gemara makes a contrast. Tanya, we learnt, I'm counting from the top of the Amud about 15 lines. At the end of a line, the Tanya Echod. We learnt, Echod zeh ve'echod zeh, mazen alav kol shiva. You sprinkle on him all 7 days. Mikol chatos shah yusham div Reb Meir. Reb Meir says, all of the chatos, the para adumos that were there, they sprinkle him with all of that, and like we're really sure that he's going to be tahar. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, in mazin alav eloshlishi yushvi belvad, you only do 3 and 7, because that's the normal protocol for the para aduma method of Tyra to bring a person back from Tumas Meis. It's day 3 and day 7. The concept of doing it all 7 is a concept that they wanted to make sure to try to get it on the ideal day. And there's a concept of Tevila Bizmana Mitzvah, to go to Mikvah at the earliest proper time, is considered a mitzvah to do it at the proper time. And likewise over here, perhaps it's the 3rd day already from when he became Tamei. So we're going to sprinkle him today, and maybe tomorrow is the 3rd day from when he became Tamei, so we'll sprinkle him tomorrow. And the 3rd day certainly might be the 3rd day. And therefore, we're doing it all 7 according to the first opinion of Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, just do 3 and 7, because that's in essence what you're looking to do. Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim Omer, Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim says, there's a fascinating distinction. Kohen asorif es hapara mazin alav kol shiva. When you're preparing to bring the para aduma, so that taira is done all 7 days, we go the extra mile. Kohen gadol b'yom ha-kippurim, but if it's the kohen gadol and yom kippur, mazin alav alashlishi yoshivii, you only do 3 and 7 in preparation for yom kippur. If you'll turn the page to the top of the Amud, you'll see a fascinating distinction which would explain the first rule. Says the Gemara, top of Amud Beis, Shezeh Perishaso Likdusha. Yom Kippur, the reason we're sequestering him, we're separating him, is for holiness. Kiddusha. Rashi says, so that he should enter the Machane Shechina, to enter the Kodesh Kadoshim, to go to the innermost parts of the Beis HaMikdash, and he should be separated Mikol Kalus Rosh, from any lightheadedness. It's a separation of Kiddusha. And it's interesting, we mentioned, his wife might even be able to be with him. Va'achiv HaKohanim Nogim Bo, and his brothers, the Kohanim, are allowed to touch him. V'zeh, but para aduma as pirishaso l'tayra, is for tayra, to separate him, because we were going to be metameh him by the last stage before he brought the para aduma, we were going to touch him and tell him to go to mikvah, and therefore we're going the extra mile to undo any perceptions of leniency regarding tumah. So Kedusha is like a mind frame. Person is a kadosh. How holy is he in terms of elevated personal growth? Taira is a technical thing. Is he tahar or tame? Logistics. So the two of them have two very different approaches. By Yom Kippur, the main focus is Kedusha, and then you could just do 3 and 7 and he's okay. But by Para Aduma, our whole focus was to make it Taira, to make it an extra level of this purity. Ve'enachiv HaKohanim Nogim Bo, and the Kohanim do not touch him until that last moment, which we discussed, when they want to make him Tamei, Lahotzi Miliban Shal Tzedukim, but generally they don't touch him. They're very, very hands-off and very, very pure, and making him, in a Tumah Taira sense, holy. And therefore, they would sprinkle him all 7 days. The Gemara qualifies this and says that it's not really all 7 days, because the fourth day doesn't fit any of the sequence. It can't be the third day, it can't be the seventh day. The fourth day has no function. And likewise, they do not do the Hazaos on Shabbos. And therefore, the Gemara presents, in the name of Rava, that if you hold the need to do this all 7 days for the Kohen Gadol, so then day 4 of the separation and day Shabbos of the separation are automatically going to be out, and that's just the way it is, because we don't control when Yom Kippur is, and 7 days before is the day you start. But by the Kohen Asorif HaSapora, the one who's bringing the Para Aduma, where we orchestrate the date, it's not based on the calendar, it's the day we decide for the ceremony, so we should purposely separate him on Wednesday, Barevi'i B'Shabbos, Ki Heichi Dinisrami Revi'i Shalo B'Shabbos, so that the fourth day of the count is Shabbos, so that that's the day that's not necessary to sprinkle him, because it can't be day 3 or 7, and it's Shabbos where we wouldn't do the sprinkling because it's Shabbos, and the two things coincide. We won't sprinkle on Shabbos, and we don't have to sprinkle on Shabbos because it's the fourth of the sequence. And that's what Rava says, that's the way the Rambam brings it, that for Kohen Asorif HaSapora, we will separate him specifically on a Wednesday, so that the fact that we don't sprinkle on Shabbos doesn't infringe on the protocol, because the fourth day of the sequence, we wouldn't have been sprinkling anyway. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.